Oh, man. How many of y'all are glad to be here today? Anybody glad to be in church today? Well, I want to tell you, I want you to get this word, and we're going to pass this word to each other. And today, we're going to pray right after I give you this word, because, man, we're going to hit a tough sermon today. I mean, this is a tough sermon. But God's been using it to make us think, okay? We live in a world that does not embrace the things of Jesus Christ. That's where we are. But guess what? I'm talking to a group of people that have embraced the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so guess what? Today, we really got to work on this together. And guess what, young people? I'm glad y'all are here, because this word, man, I want y'all to get this word. I have been actually praying in parts of the night. Dear God, let them get this word. Beneficial. I need to make decisions in my life that are beneficial to my reality. Beneficial. Jesus Christ remakes us in grace, not so that we would be destroyed, but that we would be brought to life. Does that make sense? And so in a real way, there's a practicality to following Jesus Christ. It's not just all pie in the sky. It's not just, Lord. You know, it's not, I love singing hymns, but it's more than just singing hymns. I love giving praise, but it's more than giving praise. Jesus Christ has come in my life so that I would make decisions that are beneficial, that reveal God's reality. To reveal God's what? Reality. Now, some of y'all in here, we've gone through this together. We've watched beneficial decisions, and we've watched decisions that weren't so beneficial. How many of y'all have seen both? What have you seen both? How many of y'all have had both? Come on, get real, real in here. How many of y'all have made good decisions? How many of y'all make good decisions? I hope who you married was a good decision. Elizabeth ought to have both her hands up right now. You know what I'm talking about? I made a good decision. Okay, but hold on. Now, how many of y'all made some decisions that weren't so good? They just weren't so good. They weren't what God desired. Well, let's pray that the Lord's going to help us understand. Now, guys, this is going to be tough, and I'm just going to tell y'all. Tolerance is not it. Tolerance is not it. And everything in the world today tells us that if we're tolerant, we're in, right? But guess what? God draws some lines for our what? Benefit. But I want you to hear that he didn't draw lines so we can go scream and condemn people. He drew lines so that we might be brought to what? Life. Everything about God is life. God wants us to live. He wants us to be forgiven so we might what? Live. He wants us to live better than we're living right now. That's good news. I don't know about y'all. I love a Jesus that gives me a new life. But now with new life, I'm capable of making new decisions. See how that works? In a new life, I can make new decisions that are more beneficial than my old decisions. Y'all cool with that? Y'all help some of these young folk out. A good life isn't a good life an accumulation of good decisions. Now, I know we don't like to look at it like that because you can't blame anybody. See, in today's time, we want to blame somebody. I'm not making it because of. A lot of times, we're not making it because we made some what? Bad decisions. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for loving us in spite of bad decisions, decisions that aren't beneficial. And Lord, thank you that your grace remakes us, and Lord, help us understand it today. Help us understand that you want us to live in the greatest possibility that you can give us. And so, Lord, as we go through this sermon today, may our decisions become more beneficial to who you are in our lives. It's in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, I'm going to bring you to a crazy revelation. You can't be godly without Jesus. I'm going to blow you away, right? I can't be godly with what? Without Jesus. And even with Jesus, it's tough. How many of y'all found that? Even with Jesus, it's what? It's tough. Now, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Once again, let me give you the quick overview of Corinthians. We're in a new city. The city's only about 50 years old. A lot of bling bling going on in Corinth. It's a moving, jiving place. You young people, you would love to graduate from college and go to Corinth because there is job opportunity. Okay, a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of people making money, currency being traded, import, export business. It is a city on the move. How many of y'all have ever been a part or grown up or been around a city on the move? A lot of action, a lot of activity, a lot of lights, okay? A lot of lights. Now, Corinth is also a very sensual city. Do you know what I mean by that? It's a sensual city. We have sensual cities, in like New York is a sensual city. You know, it's the only place on Times Square there'd be a big underwear commercial, 50 feet tall. You know, it's a sensual city, and we live in a sensual culture. Now, we can come to church and pretend, well, that doesn't exist, or we can get real and say, guess what? It exists. Now, how am I going to live in a beneficial way in a world that doesn't want to hear what God has to say? Isn't that where we really are? Now, there's three things you and I fight constantly. You ready? There's three things in the decision-making process that can bring us down. These will haunt you in the morning. They will be with you after we finish this service. What I feel. How many of y'all make decisions based on what you feel? How many of y'all found that is a bad deal? How many of y'all have ever, it felt good and it was bad? True? It felt good, but it what? It was bad, it just didn't work. How many of y'all found this? There are some things that will make you feel good for the moment and curse you for a lifetime. Okay, but hold on, we got the grace of God coming in here today. Number two, what I think is not always right. But how many of y'all make decisions based? I think. How many of y'all do that one? I'm going to do it because I think it's what? Right. I mean, we get plagued by that sometimes. And then there's a third thing, I want to. How many of y'all just mess up on the I want to's? The I want to's get over what God wants me to. I want to. I'm going to do it because what? I said I can. I what? Want to. How many of y'all end up in sin just because you want to? Yeah, I do. There's just some stuff I want to do that's not good things to do, and I do. I want to. How many of y'all have ever been under this lie? Well, just a little bit won't hurt me. Just a little bit won't hurt me. Huh? I have a habit in my life that started out with just a little pinch between the cheek and gums. That's the way they advertise it. Just a little bit of what? Do you? And then guess what? Then you're done. Isn't that the way the devil works? He says, let me take you just a little way away from where you could be. Well, guess what that's called? In fact, Elizabeth and I had this experience a few years back. We were in San Diego, Texas. San Diego. No, not San Antonio. San Diego's in California. If we were in San Diego, Texas, we were smoking dope and arrived there that way, okay? Now, we were in a real place, San Antonio, that's where we were. And remember this, Elizabeth and I can get lost, and we get in fights when we drive, and now she drives me absolutely out of my mind. Now, back in the old days when we first got married, she just had a map in her. Now she's got the navigator on this, and then she's got a backup navigator on, and then she's got her map, and then she's got her. There's five people over there telling me which way to go. And sometimes I'd like to tell all five of them where they could go. Heaven. See what I'm saying? So we're driving there. Now watch this. Hold on. We'll see what the devil does to us. And we knew our hotel. You remember this, Elizabeth? We could see our hotel. But we couldn't get on the right street to get to it. It's one of these cities that loops this way and then loops the back that way. And I said, we got to turn right there. And she said, we got to go over here. I said, it's there. You know what? We were close enough to see it, but couldn't arrive because we wouldn't get on the road that took us there. Because the road that took us there looked like we were going the wrong way. Somebody with me? You see, sometimes when we make a decision, we say, this can't be right, and we're stepping this way. And they say, well, everybody disagrees with it, and everybody says that can't be the best way. And we step over here, and guess what? It's the way that God takes us into His glory. Because you see, the Bible teaches us this, what seems right to us is not always the way of the Lord. Amen? Well, let me tell you what Paul, he opens up to the Corinthians. They have lost their everlasting minds. They are celebrating sexual immorality. Can you imagine the church of the Lord Jesus Christ celebrating sexual immorality? I hope you can, because there's parts of the church today in the United States of America that are openly celebrating sexual immorality. Now, here for about the next four sermons, we got to deal with sexual immorality. Now, guess what? Here's what I want you to know. God wants you to be blessed. Is everybody cool? If you have fallen into the sin of sexual immorality, please don't sit there and feel guilty. repent and get in what God wants you to have. I want you to hear me clearly. All young people, I want you to hear this because I don't want you to miss out. God made sex. Everybody agree there. God made sex. The devil didn't make sex. How many of y'all agree with this? God has the best sex ever. God's sex plan is the best sex ever. His plan is this, that you would be married, men marry women. You say, well, Pastor Steve, I disagree with that. Well, you know, you may disagree with that. That don't change it. You say, well, a lot of people, I don't care what a lot of people, this is what God said. This is the way God made it. Nothing else works any other way. You go, well, I disagree. I feel good in a same-sex relation. Well, you can feel good by yourself. Yeah, look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. But see, sex is not about feeling good. It's about glorifying what God has made. Y'all ever realize that? That God made it so he could expose his glory. Now, if you're married, when you're married, that's the best place for sex. Amen, honey? Amen. You hear? Amen. Because guess what? Hold on. I want y'all to hear the good news. It is in the covenant of marriage. There is no guilt, no shame. It's God's blessing. Isn't that cool? So just wait till you get married. Pastor Steve, everybody's got. You go, this must be of the Lord. I have strange feelings. No, that's called horny. God calls for holy. Now, hold on, I hate to be this blunt. Older folk, I hate to be this blunt, but somebody got to be clear. All this euphemism language ain't getting through. That's what it is. Now, those of you that are married, guess what? I'm going to call on you in the name of Jesus. You ought to live in such a way that people want to be married. You ought to live your life in such a blessing with God that people ought to say, man, that's a lot better than I got going on. God has called us to be light in darkness, and he's called us to be salt where there is no flavor. And here's the problem with sin. It takes the flavor out of living. It takes the light out of the world. And it crashes you unto death. And Paul is mesmerized that this new church doesn't get it. And look what he says. He says, I'm astonished. I'm amazed. Chapter 5, verse 1. Let's look at this. He said, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, a kind that even the pagans do not tolerate. Interesting. What's the word? He said, even people that don't know Christ think this is a crazy idea. But what's the church doing? Well, we don't want to bring this up to the brother because it'll hurt his feelings and he'll be offended. And now listen. And the church isn't about, listen, if you've been involved in sexual immorality, listen, I'm not here to make you feel guilty, but I'm here to say, you know what, it is time to line up and do it like Jesus wants us to do it. And listen, if you guys haven't had sex yet and you're not married, you're doing a real good job. Somebody needs to tell you, you're the one doing a good job. And there's a blessing coming in your marriage. Make sense? There's a blessing coming in your marriage. And when you have that blessing in your marriage, quit apologizing for it. When people ask you, why is your marriage real good? I did what God told me to do. Why does our marriage stink? Because you didn't do what God asked you to do. It's time some people start telling the truth. Is there a difference in obedience and disobedience? Come on, y'all have raised kids. Toolies, y'all got like 25 kids. Do you like it when your kids do what you want them to do or when they disobey what you tell them to do? When they listen, what do? Praise be unto God. It's a glorious day. I don't know about y'all, Liz, but when I raised two kids, the few times they listened, it was a marvelous day. Amen? How many of you husbands, when your wife listens to you, what do? I shout unto the Lord. I start singing that song. You know, remember that old song we used to sing? Shout to the Lord. I mean, I'm amazed. Elizabeth, and if I listen to you, what happens? God has moved. So imagine what would happen if we listened to who? To God. Now look, Paul said, I'm astonished that you are tolerating, you're embracing, you're even saying okay to a type of sexual immorality that those who embrace sexual immorality said, this is crazy. Look at what he's doing. A man is sleeping with his father's wife. That is not a good idea. Somebody say amen. Hey, we're in Kentucky. Y'all need to be fervently convinced that these things are not good. Okay? Let me be very clear on this. If they look like you and share the same last name, stay away. Now, we also have, I know it's gross, Shelly, but guess what? This happens. What's this? He's sleeping with his father's wife. Now, we don't know if that's his mama, because back in this moment of time, you could have more than one wife. Some of you men saying, yeah, that's a good idea. Really? That's because you ain't married yet. You got to think about this. You women know, y'all got, even you young women, I bet y'all got this right here. My wife, I love her, but I thought about, man, if I had more than one wife, what would happen? And I thought about Monday nights. Monday nights are a sacred night to males. It's Monday night football night. And it's amazing. You can have dinner with your wife, and she could tell you everything she wanted to tell you. She could ask those 25 questions that you're going to be asked. She saves them up. Think about this. This just sets women off. Dun, 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 dun. And they come and stand in front of the TV and ask you 25 questions. Could take a whole quarter. Now imagine having four wives. You've missed the whole game, Klein. Really, it's to fall madly in love with one. It's to give yourself unto one. Now, Hillview, here's what we teach, okay? We teach a blessed marriage. And so I want you all to know, listen, I'm going to stand up for this, man. I stand up for marriage. I want you, if you choose to be married, now you don't have to be married. Listen, if you won't be happy, stay single. It's a lot less trouble. I have people all the time come to my office, well, I got married and I'm not happy. I said, you got married. Married is complicated. I mean, you got somebody else you got to care for. You can't do all you want to do all the time. You got to think about it. It takes work to be married, okay? That's just part of it. Now, if you want in that journey, God will bless it. And if you want to stay out of that journey, God will bless it. Either way. But if you've chosen to be married, you said, you know, I want a husband, I want a wife, I want to be married, then guess what? You need to live in God's fullness. And I see a lot of you living in God's fullness, and it's amazing. But let's continue on. Amen? So, young people, here's the deal. I want you all to have a blessed marriage, so I'm going to tell you the truth of what it takes to get one. And you got to follow the ways of the Lord. Yeah. Sexual immorality is a killer. Do y'all understand that? It's crushing our culture. Watch this. Sexual immorality has cost our nation billions of dollars, and it's approaching trillions of dollars. All in sexual immorality. Now, here's what we tend to do. Pastor Ayers, don't say anything about that. Don't bring that up. It's not culturally relevant, because the culture says, what's the culture say? We've been saying this since the 70s. Yeah, there's somebody from the 70s. Yeah, Linda. Well, from the 60s. So Linda started in the 60s with her bell bottoms out there at Woodstock. Everybody decided to take their clothes off and make love, and we were making love and not what? War. Y'all remember that era, you know? Shower the people you love with what? Love. And then we went on to the love machine. And then we had all kinds of this. We called it the sexual what? Revolution. Has cost billions of dollars, approaching trillions of dollars, because sin kills. Now, Paul knew that sin killed. He's not sitting here bashing somebody. He's saying, I don't want you to die. Young people, I don't want you to die. He said, well, Pastor, here's what you're asking us to do. Wait until we get married to have sex? I'm going to be very clear on this. Yes. He said, how do I control myself? Prayer and cold showers. Get in a cold shower and say, dear Lord, show me the one. May she be who you want her to be. You got that, Matthew? And don't be telling God who you ought to marry, because you don't know. You know why people get a divorce? Y'all really won't know. They married the wrong person. Y'all notice that? You know how you end up marrying the wrong person? Follow what you think and what you feel instead of what God said. Yeah, a lot of people marry people that don't like them. How many of y'all found it is hard to be married to somebody you don't like? I like Elizabeth. I joke with her all the time, but I like her. And she jokes back. She likes parts of me. I want you to know that you can stay married with somebody that even likes parts of you. But they gotta like something. See, a lot of us, we end up marrying the wrong person because we follow our emotions or we follow our thoughts. Also, I want to show you two places the church is derailing in the 21st century. We got churches that are full of emotion, and they think if they're just an emotional experience and everybody gets tingly, that must be God. And now we got a new circle, and they think it's all intellectual. If we have the right doctrine and we can fathom the mysteries of God. Usually that's defined in 5 points of Calvin. If you know a 500-year-old theology, then thus you're intellectual and you have arrived at some kind of superior understanding of Jesus Christ. So we're trying to find God through our emotions or through our thoughts. And God says y'all are out of your minds. You find God through Jesus Christ, who is the Lord and Savior, and I come to you and you receive me, and then your thoughts and your intellect and your emotions and your thoughts will be balanced. That's pretty incredibly cool, isn't it? We got to stay cool in this deal. Look at what he did. He said, now let me tell you what he got mad about. He's not amazed that there's sexual immorality. Paul's not a prude. He's been around the world. He's been around a block. He's amazed that the church is celebrating it. Church, we can't approve of things that kill us. Amen? Huh? I remember our youth pastor one year, a few years back. It's been about 15 years ago. One of our youth pastors got a call. This mother was outraged. And she said, Pastor Tim, I'm going to tell you one thing. My daughter's 17 years old, and she's smoking marijuana. And I want you to call her and put a stop to it. And he said, well, let me ask you a question, ma'am. Where did she get her pot? She said, it's mine. True story. Now, hold on. This is the expectation we have. I'm going to live like I want to live, and then I expect my kids to do different than I do in spite of me supplying the example of what I think is life. Now, in the church, we're to bring things to life. Everybody understand it. Remember, the word is beneficial. Are the decisions I'm making beneficial to the life that God has given me? Check this out. He goes, you're proud. Shouldn't you have rather gone into mourning and have put out of your fellowship the man who's been doing this? Now, before you get, watch this. Here's what I'm showing you. This man claims to be a what? Believer. Now, once you say, I believe in Jesus Christ, here's what I want you to know. Then that begins to change your conduct. Amen? Now, I don't know why church people do this, but they do. I expect lost people to live lost. I expect them to think lost, act lost, determine life lost. That's why nothing that goes on in Congress surprises me. Because they don't wake up in the morning and say, God, what should we do? They wake up in the morning and say, what's best for me? But that's what lost people what? Do. And I'm not busting on them because before I knew Jesus Christ, guess who I thought about most? Me. I thought about what's in it for me. How do I get more? Does it feel what? Good. Am I happy? Am I excited? Am I going to make money? It's all about me because I don't have any Jesus. But when Jesus comes into our lives, if it's all about Jesus, now I got to begin to make decisions according to who? Jesus, and not just about me. So let's see, what do we do when we consider Jesus? Now check us out. What are we going to embrace? What are we going to embrace? Look what he does. Look what he does here. Well, Lord have mercy. Let me throw in my glasses real quick. I'll tell you what, my eyes have digressed since I started preaching this morning. You ready? Check us out. It does. Paul begins to speak to them. For though I am absent in the body, I'm present in the spirit. As if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. Now check us out. Paul has judged this person or this activity. Activity. He says, don't be sleeping with your father's wife. I think that's a sound judgment. What do you think? Now some of you go, well, let me ask you a question. Should Paul have said nothing and not been in this guy's business? That's what the world says. It's none of your business. Now listen, some of y'all are going to get real mad at me. Well, if it's none of my business, quit asking me to take
my tax money in paying for your consequences.
That's, oh boy, I got it quite, didn't it? See, because here's what I tell you. A lot of the stuff we do in this nation today would cease if we had to eat the consequences of our behavior. But you know what we've done? We said, I'm going to get to do what I want to do, but then so-and-so, you pay for it. That's what I love about my daddy. My daddy would always tell us the best way, and then if we chose to go the stupid way, he would never put a pillow under our consequences. Now, my dad's a godly man, so when we hit the concrete and we hurt, we got skinned up, okay? My dad also didn't look over us and say, I told you so. He didn't do that. He wasn't arrogant, cocky. He just looked and he said, what have you learned? How many of y'all have learned this? Sin's not a good idea. No matter how you slice it, it's not a good idea. And we need to judge things that aren't a good idea. Make sense? Is it a good idea to be addicted to substances that keep you from thinking well? No. Is it a good idea? Well, here, let's just use one that's just simple. I've dealt with the last 2 weeks. Is it a good idea to text and drive your car? Why? You're going to kill somebody else. Here's the thing about sin. You can't sin by yourself. It's going to affect what? Somebody else. Let me ask you a question. Let's say that you know, in sexual immorality, some of y'all are saying, well, sexual immorality isn't bad. I bet it is. What would y'all be okay then with me just having a little twist every once in a while? Well, that's a pretty good moral judgment y'all just made. You wouldn't have to worry about that. You would all be attending a funeral. You said, man, I'll tell you what. Pastor shouldn't have done that, but Elizabeth shouldn't have killed him. Well, see, it would hurt everything, wouldn't it? Most of all, it hurts my beloved wife. Most of all, it hurts the way God really made me. And that's what Paul's saying. We don't need to be bragging about this stuff. Now, guess what? He said, what happens when people make a bad decision? We need to repent and reestablish in the ways of grace. But you cannot tolerate. Toleration of sin does not make it go away. In fact, it grows it. Look at the illustration Paul uses. He says, don't you understand this? He said, a little bit of yeast. It takes a little bit of yeast and it changes the whole batch of dough. He said, be careful. He said, this is what you should do. He said, you should deliver this dude who's practicing this and championing this, deliver him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh so that he might be saved in the day of the Lord. You know what? When you get turned over to your consequences, eventually you'll get tired of those consequences. And what do you do when you get tired of those consequences? You change. In recovery, we call it this. I'm sick and tired of being what? Sick and tired. Once you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, there's a great day happening. You just might get saved. But guess what? Most of us will never come to Jesus Christ till we get sick and tired of being sick and tired. We'll try it one more time. How many of y'all found sin doesn't work any better the 500th time as it did the first time? The same consequences, man. God wants to bless you. He wants beneficial things, not hindering things. Look what he says. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little leaven, it messes the whole lump up. Clean out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you already are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Guess what he says? Therefore, let us celebrate the festival, not with old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. How many of y'all are glad to know that God has now made you sincere? You know what that word means? You'll hold up. How many of y'all glad to know you're going to hold up on the day of judgment? Look at your neighbor. We're just going to assume they're saved and just go, you're going to hold up. Come on, you're going to hold up. Now, let me ask y'all a question. I'm going to come over here to the test takers in the congregation. Y'all have to take tests, right? Should have some coming up this week. It's about time for the first round of tests, right? About every 3 or 4 weeks they come up, you have tests. And at the end, in December, you're going to have finals, okay? So I don't know why you're stressed out about that, because they tell you in August. It's not like a surprise. On December the 1st, they go, surprise, finals!
There's a final. Hold on. In life, we're going to have a final. Jesus Christ is going to look us in the eye and he's going to ask us, what have you done with the life I've given you? Now, how many of y'all think some of the stuff we run today is going to pass? Well, Lord, I just failed. Y'all think it's going to work? Well, Lord, everybody was doing it. You think that works? My kids threw that one on me through the years. They look at me and say, well, Daddy, you don't understand everybody's doing it. And I said, well, I don't give a care what everybody else is doing. I didn't give that either. Are you doing what you need to do? Are you who you have been made to be? I can't control anybody else, but guess what? I can decide to be what Jesus Christ wants me to be. Now, church, I know, listen, church, young people, listen to me. There's this thing going around, I've been going around about 20 years. The church needs to be relevant to the culture. There is no biblical evidence for any of that identity. When Jesus came to earth, guess what? Never one time did he consider being relevant. He said, I am the Son of God here to reveal heaven on earth. I think we need to do the same thing. Amen? He said, well, people don't think we're cool. Who cares? On the day of judgment, we'll be cool. Our climate is better than the climate of those who do not believe. And you need to understand there's a deep separation. And it's time that you hear somebody tell you there is going to be a day of judgment. It's not our judgment. It is God's judgment. And those who believe and have been forgiven are judged into an eternal paradise. And those who have refused God, stood against God, and rejected God will live a hellish hell. And Obama can't change it, and your mama can't change it, and your daddy can't change it, and the government can't change it, and the military can't change it, and all the ologies in the world will not change it. It is a judgment made by the God that you made you. And all the people that believe in evolution, they'll evolve. God said, oh, you didn't believe I created you? Good. I don't guess you believe that I rejected you either. And what you're going to find out, what you believe does not determine me. That's how arrogant we are. Well, I think God has. Oh, even in the church. What do we think? We're going to raise our hands and if 51% of us agree this is what God says, he's going to change his mind because we took a vote? Do you think God changes his mind about morality based on our Congress's perception? I don't care what a senator said about it. I care what God said about it. Because senators come and go, and God lasts forever. You see the difference? There's authority to God. Now, don't let that freak you out. You ought to be doing this. Man, I'm thankful that the God that created everything wants to redeem me. That's pretty good news, isn't it? God loves me enough. He doesn't want me to live in crazy. He does not want me to be messed up. Let me ask you a question. He talks about the leaven, malice, and in evil. He says, don't get in there. You're a light. You're a salt and light. Now think about this. How many of y'all have ever gone to wherever you keep your bread? Bread box, Tupperware bowl, wherever you keep your bread. Pulled out two big old pieces of moldy bread and said, man, I'm going to make me a good peanut butter and jelly here. If you see moldy bread, what do? What kind of bread do you like? Ooh, me too. I remember when Elizabeth and I got married in those early days of marriage when she adored me. Been a long time, but I remember she used to make sourdough bread. Oh, stuff would come out of the oven, man. I cut me a piece. I put real butter on it. I didn't put no margarine on it. Butter. I didn't have that little can talking to me. Can't believe it's butter. I said, it is butter. I put butter on it, eat it. If I had kept on those behaviors, I'd weigh 450 pounds now. But it's fresh bread. There's nothing like the smell of fresh bread. And in a real way, church, I want to give you this image. You and I are the fresh bread made by God to the world. Pretty cool, isn't it? So every morning we get up, we're somebody's Pop-Tart. Somebody's strudel. Somebody's bagel. Somebody's glazed donut. We're the fresh what? Fresh bread. We ought to have a fresh life. And that's what Paul's really saying, man. You can't tolerate the mold, the evil. You've been made new. And look what he says. I want you to know you got to live right in spite of. And he said, now don't freak out.
He said, I wrote to you in my letter, look at verse 9, not to associate with people, with the sexual immoral people, not at all meaning the sexual immoral of this world, or the greedy and the swindlers or the adulterers, since then you would need to go out of the world. He's not saying exclude people that have messed up. He's saying don't tell them it's okay. And he's not even saying judge the world. Watch this. Listen. Y'all say, well, what do you think about all these people that want to do all these immoral things? It's their business. I don't expect unbelievers to act like believers. And I don't know why church people expect those who don't have a relationship with Christ to think like they have a relationship with Christ. That's insane. Are there going to be laws that we disagree with? Absolutely, because unbelievers, non-believers create laws. They're based according to the philosophy of man. You and I must follow the way of the Lord. And we better embrace that. Amen? So our job's not to yell and scream at sinful people, but it's to be an example of blessed people. But what we cannot do is tolerate sin in the church. Because it doesn't belong here. Amen? Y'all know, look, you made a good moral judgment on me. If I had me a girlfriend married, would you all appreciate that? Or how many of y'all would just do that? Well, you know, Pastor Steve can do what he wants to do, man. I think it's cool. There's other pastors that have girlfriends and have had girlfriends. So since everybody's got a girlfriend, he ought to get to have a girlfriend too. Right? I can't talk y'all into that? Not that I want one, because I want at least see the first half of Monday Night Football game. But see what I'm saying? Hold on. When you put it on me, y'all get pretty clear, right? Let me tell you why. Here's what sin does, man. Sin always blinds us to our own standing. It always blinds us to what? Our own standing. I've dealt with helping many of my, well, not many, but some of my friends that fell into sexual immorality and watching their lives be reconstructed by the grace of God, which He is fully capable of doing. And I said, brother, what happened? He said, man, I just really believed it wouldn't get me. And that's what sin does. It lies to us and says it's not going to get what? But it is going to get you. And it's going to get the person sitting beside you. And it's going to get everything around you. It'll get all it can get. And here's what God says. I'd really like to get you and love you. He tells us to be examples of great love, great, great power. He says, in the world, you can't get away from people that practice these things. But you don't need to practice these things. You talk about a great witness. Try this one on. Be honest with integrity and treat people respectfully no matter who they are. Jesus. Yeah. I'm going to treat sinners with deep respect. I'm not going to yell and scream at them because why? Do y'all like being yelled and screamed at? Where did Jesus yell and scream at the world? Where was Jesus up on a rock in the scripture going, sinner, harlot? You know who does that? Religious people. Let me tell you about religious people. Let me tell you how arrogantly they act. They think they're one better than Jesus. Well, I'm not going to associate with people that have messed up. I'm righteous. That's why when they fall, people pounce on them. You know why? They don't pounce on them because they fall. They pounce on them because they've been so arrogant till their fall. Jesus didn't exclude. He invited us to come in and to be remade. He said, if you were to stay away from all the people who were sinful, you'd have to leave the world. And the good news is Jesus came into the world, and guess what he did? He loved the sexual immoral. He loved the greedy, the swindlers, the adulterers. But once he loved us, he didn't expect us to stay that way. Does that make sense? Now he said about brothers in Christ, it changes. I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he's guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an adulterer, a reveler, a drunkard, or a swindler. Not even to eat with such a one. So what's he saying? He said, be careful about people who say they've... Ladies, y'all better listen to me. Y'all listen. Look. You go out with these guys. Guys lie all the time, especially to you ladies. They go, I'm a Christian guy.
I love the Lord. Well, if he loves the Lord, then he's going to want what the Lord wants. And the Lord don't want him to have that yet. So if he's going to follow the Lord, he won't be asking for the things that the Lord doesn't ask for. Does that clue y'all in? And when he says, baby, I just feel like God wants us, he's lying. Because God wants him to get a job. And God wants him to become a man. And God wants him to be able to make provision. And then God will allow him to take a wife. Makes sense? And then you can have the things that he's asking for now. Because then he can afford them. Does that make sense or not? But what do we do? Listen, I hear crazy stuff like this. People come in and they say, well, Pastor Steve, the Lord is leading me out of this marriage. I go, really? Well, explain that to me. Well, I just feel unhappy. This is going to blow a lot of y'all away. Y'all may never come back. You can find happy churches. God does not care if you're happy. You do. There's not one place in the scripture that God said, I have created you that you might be happy. I have died on the cross for your happiness. That's Mickey Mouse. That's Disney. That's Nick at Night. That's the Waltons. That's Hollywood's version of good. God says, I've come that you might have a full and abundant life, one that lives in the richness of heaven, not in the emotion of the moment. God goes much deeper than we do. Embrace that. Amen. He'd change it forever. Tough sermon. Look what he says. God judges those who are outside. Leave that to God. Purge the evil person from among you. He said, if he's not going to live according to the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, then what? He can't be among you. Does that make sense? Yeah. If I was to have a girlfriend, what do you all need to do with me? Well, y'all said that quick. If you're to have a girlfriend, so should I kick you out? But really, we should call people to repent. See, the object of this is not to kick out, it's to be brought in. But if you refuse to be brought in, what eventually happens? Not by the church, but by what? The sin itself, by God. Paul said you cannot celebrate sin. Make sense? There'll be a day, man, listen, I believe marriage is between one man, one woman, period. Not be in judgment. Don't just listen. Just listen. Just listen. I know this is politically controversial. I can't imagine it's political. I mean, this fries my mind, Klein. That I live in the 21st century and I go, marriage is about a man and a woman. People go, Shazam. We've lost our everlasting minds. We kept embracing and embracing and embracing. Guess what? I want you to wait till you get married and stay married and raise your kids. If a majority of us do that, tell me about the world. Thank God, girls, guess what? Your taxes won't be as high. You know why? Immorality is expensive. Trillions of dollars have been spent to change the world because of their sin, and it isn't changing. We'll spend a trillion more, and guess what? We'll continue to plunder. You know why? Every sin kills. And let me tell you what, I love you guys enough to tell you what. I've about had enough of looking into the hollow eyes of 6-year-old children who don't have a mother and don't have a father because they were brought into this world before they had parents ready to raise them. All in the name of tolerance. I do not tolerate death. I think it's a bad deal. I think God has made us to live. He said so. let's what? Live. Amen. Does it make sense today? Tough lesson today. Doesn't fit the culture, does it? I'm supposed to be rainbows and gumdrops. I'm supposed to tell you Jesus is the great hippie in the sky that made us all the way we are and we can't help it. And we're just supposed to do whatever we want to do. And one day God says, hey, I love you. And we sing, you know, we sing a James Taylor song, Shower the People with Love. We love and we all live in heaven together. Now that'll sell a book, but that won't bring you new life. It'll kick up some dollars, but it won't transform your existence. Make sense? You know what Jesus said? We've all sinned. Amen? You know what Jesus said? Judge, meaning this, determine if this is beneficial. That's a good judgment. You got to determine if it's beneficial. It's true. Hey, for those of you that are dating, you better determine, is this beneficial? Make sense? If it ain't working when you date, it's definitely not going to work when you get married. If you have to force yourself to like somebody, why would you marry them?
So, Pastor Steve, I just need to be married.
Why? It's cheaper single. Because we have an image we want instead of God, show me your way in whatever it is. Amen? All right, have I been clear? Better yet, has the Holy Spirit been clear? You know what's so exciting? There's some people going to get saved today. Isn't that neat? I hope you've heard the depth of this message. God wants you to be His. He doesn't want your life tangled in stuff that'll kill it. I think that's wonderful. Don't you? I'm glad I follow a God that says, hey, listen, don't do that because that's going to mess you up. And if you have messed up, which is all of us have messed up. Don't get real judgmental because guess who's messed up? Everybody. Why not today? And I know some of you are going to say yes today. You know what happened at 9:30? An 80-year-old man was baptized at 9:30. 80 years old. You know why? He didn't say it was too late. He said, Lord, I hear you. Sunday at 9:30, he rolled right up here with his son. And his son, 47, him, 80 years old. He said, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me my sin. Men, listen to me. It is a very manly thing to get in that baptistry and say, I'm going to follow Jesus. Men, I want you to hear that. Because I know a lot of you heard all your life, it's kind of a sissy thing to follow Jesus. Hey, and listen, to watch some of the preachers I grew up with, I see how you came to that conclusion. I'm just be that honest about it. Go read the Bible. There's men who love God with all their heart and soul. And God did great and wonderful things with them. But you got to be saved before you can get it on. Some of you today need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I'm tired of the sin. Guess what Jesus is going to do? He's going to forgive you. He's going to love you. And you're not going to be what you used to be. Isn't that cool? Some of you say, well, Pastor Steve, I follow Jesus and I still make some stupid mistakes. I do too. If you've been doing that, guess what you need to do? Lord, help me listen better and help me have the strength to do what you ask me. Make sense? The longer you live with Jesus, here's what you'll figure out. Everything he asks you to do is to bring you to life. It's just like that moment where Elizabeth and I could see the hotel. And I thought we were going to turn this way because that's where the hotel was located. And guess what? You turned this way. Away from the hotel, but it put you on a loop that looped you back across the bridge that brought you into the side the hotel was on. See, my mind was so stuck. If it's over there, you got to turn what? Left. Elizabeth goes, you turn right, right? I said, honey, you don't turn right to go left. Guess what? After an hour, you turn right to go left. And she was gracious. She just sat there and cursed. She said, I told you that an hour ago. I said, I want to spend time with you. I can always make up something. That's a lot better than saying your stupid husband kept you in the car because he wouldn't what? How many of y'all going to go to hell today because you won't listen? Seriously. You're just going to live in hell for an eternity because you won't listen to what Jesus had to say. That breaks my heart. Elizabeth has to live with me. My heart gets broken every Sunday. That's why I'm so weird. A part of me is rejoicing over those that God has saved. And then guess what? I got to watch some of you. You know you're as lost as an Easter egg. And you hear God's call. And you feel Him moving in your heart, man. You know that He's calling you to be saved. And you go like this. Well, I'm going to do it next week. Young people, don't play this game. Well, man, I got a party right now. I got to get all that done. And then I'm going, you never get there, I promise. I got buddies sitting on the same stool, drinking the same beer, telling the same jokes, chasing the same girls. They've been there for 30-something years. And to be honest with you, it don't look like it used to. None of it. And they'll even tell you, that's not what it used to be. I said, why do you do it? I'm a habit. How many of y'all have ever just gotten in a habit doing a bad thing? Well, today, guess what? Let's ask God to bless us all, bring us to life. Amen. This sermon is not about feeling guilty. This sermon is about saying, you know what? I believe Jesus got a better idea than I do. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what? Sin. Man, I got great news today. There's not anybody in here that can't be saved. That's pretty radical, isn't it? You go, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. No, I do understand. You don't understand. Jesus will save you. You say, Pastor Steve, I've had a sexual immoral moment. God's had a grace moment waiting for you. Pastor Steve, God's ready for you. So let's stand together right now, okay? We got this time of altar. Y'all, please be respectful. Don't bail out of here all at once because guess what? There's some people that are going to receive Christ today. There's some people that are going to come for baptism today. Some of you just need to come today. I had to come down here today. I'll just be confessing my own life. I said, Lord, you know, sometimes my daggum temper causes me to look like I don't live in the light. Lord, may I listen to you when I start to get angry. We got to be salt and light. Isn't that right, Reverend Reynolds? We got to be salt and light. Listen, if you're trapped in sexual immorality, ask God to forgive you. He will. He will. Trust God. I'm asking you to trust Jesus to remake your life. Some of you go, well, Pastor Steve, what if I mess up several times? I say, keep coming back. Make sense? I'm not going to throw you out of church. You say, well, do you have church discipline here? Yeah, you ain't going to teach Sunday school either. But I want God to remake you, amen? If you got a heart to get better, God's got enough grace to get you better. So let's pray now we have some hearts prepared to receive grace. David and Sally, thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for being an example of doing it right. Now, some of y'all may look at the Thule kids are cute. They take after Sally. But you know what? Dave and Sally were here when you all sat over there, but it was in the old sanctuary. And it was the coolest couple I'd ever seen because David's like Superman. He's Clark Kent. He can do anything. He's amazing. Sally's like real creative, and she played the tambourine and danced. And David, he ain't got a lick of rhythm. And God put them together in His rhythm, didn't He, Dave? Do you know what? I know this, and I'll testify in their lives. They did it right. They did it right when they were at Western. They did it right at their wedding altar. They've done it right in their marriage, and they're a testimony that God blesses you when you do it right. So, because y'all been married now, what, Dave? You're going to make me feel old. 16 years. So they heard these sermons 19 years ago and decided to do right. Well, guess what? Today, grandparents, I am witnessing those grandparents. But you know what? Y'all did it right. And the reason I'm calling this out is because people think that people just accidentally have good lives. They don't. They make a conscious decision to do what Jesus Christ said do. Some of you watching, some of you going, well, I took my kids to church. Yeah, but you never made them do anything else. I'm telling you, telling you, God's way is a better way. If you're not saved today, Jesus Christ doesn't want you to go to hell. And at this moment of history, I get to step in and be a mouthpiece from heaven for just this moment to let you know, repent of your sins, receive Jesus, and live. Gosh, what a great job I get. There's going to be a moment that my lips are sealed and I am done with, and there'll never be another preacher again. And there's going to be a day of judgment, and God wants everybody to live. He said so in His scripture. That's His desire. Will everybody live? No. Because some of you would rather do what you think and what you feel and what you want than what God said. God said, repent of your sins. Works like this. Lord Jesus, I hear you right now. Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life. He'll do it if you ask. You have not because you what? Ask not. Lord Jesus, come into my life and give me my sins. Lord Jesus, I repent. I'm sorry. If you got your life in a situation that it shouldn't be in right now, here's what I encourage you to do. Make it right before God. Yeah. I have to do this with Elizabeth all the time in our marriage. Elizabeth, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I'm not going to do it again. When I don't do it again, she likes that. Now, if I just say I'm sorry and I'm sorry, I'm sorry, eventually she gets tired of me saying what? Sorry. She likes me to repent. That means I'm not going to do that again. Let's let God move. Amen. Lord, tough lesson today. And Lord, as we sang and as we were preaching, you gave us moments in our lives where we need to really straighten up and do what you ask us to do. Lord, I just ask if anybody's caught right now that they don't continue to have to be caught. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, just let them see hope right now. For anybody here that has never asked Jesus into your life, listen to me. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Just hear it. Just tell him, Lord Jesus, come into my life. So Pastor Harris, you don't know what I've smoked. Yeah, but I'm telling you what, Jesus has got a better message than that. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and you rose from the grave. I believe you're stronger than my sin. Amen. Man, if you just prayed that and you know the Lord's come into your life, I want you to come forward and you're going to meet with the pastor and we're going to celebrate Jesus Christ saving you. If you've never been baptized, it's time to be baptized. Maybe this week you've received Jesus. Well, guess what? You need to step up and be obedient. Your Pastor Ayers, I'm not sure that that's relevant. I'm sure it is. Jesus Christ said, be baptized. He said, do what I tell you to do. He said, well, I don't understand it. Well, guess what? Do what he tells you to do, and then you'll understand it. Maybe today your life's caught. Or listen, some of you may even have this. If you're being tempted toward a sexual sin, come and ask God to give you strength to override the temptation. Pastors, let's start praying that way. I'd much rather pray that God prevent an affair than we have to deal with the aftermath of an affair. Amen? You know, if your co-worker looks a little too good, you need to say, Lord, may I stay focused with my husband or my wife? Listen, I know it's tempting. Tempting lives with the devil, doesn't he? Because right now he's like, I don't miss that old crazy guy. Do what you want to do. It'll be all right later on. A lot of damage. I think this is a great testimony. I listened to God through my high school years, my college years. I did what God wanted me to do. I married the right person. I got a good job. I make good money, and I'm making a difference in the world. Hallelujah. That's a radical testimony. Be that testimony. This altar's open. There's some people getting saved right now. Let Jesus move. Amen. I want you to know, with all confession, I cannot save you. I cannot talk you into it. But I've told you the truth. I can tell you this. Nobody here today will stand before judgment and be able to say, I didn't know how to receive you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, draw those who need to be saved. Strengthen those that need to be obedient. Help us to repent. And let's worship at this altar. Amen. Guys, it's wide open. Come on, it's open. Thank you for being saved. Thank you for receiving Christ. Thank you for being baptized. Come and let's talk about that. Let's celebrate that. Come on, church, it's wide open. God's already done the work. Just come and let us know what he's doing. Come on, right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, right now in the name of Jesus. Let him have your life. Let him have your life.